Now, I have to confess, it's not because I am just amazing at prayer or have some amazing prayer life. It's because I want to grow in this area of prayer. I want our church to grow in this area of prayer, because I believe that if any church is going to have great kingdom impact, it's going to be because they're a church that's known as a praying church. If you want to grow spiritually as an individual, if you want to see our church body grow spiritually as well, it's going to be back to the basics. We're going to have to grow in this area called prayer. One author I read described prayer as essential to the Christian as breathing is to life. You can't have one without the other. For the Christian, prayer is essential. Another author and counselor, Ed Welch, when he was talking about what it means to help each other, kind of in the counseling church setting, what does it mean for you and I to see or grow in Christ together? He described it as simple as knowing each other and praying together. Coming together to know each other and to pray together. You see, when I know you, I know that I can't handle all your problems. I know that I have to bring them before the great King of all the universe, because he can do what I can't do. It's as simple as knowing each other and praying together. I love that in one of the counseling classes I took through him. So what is prayer? It seems like kind of an obvious question, maybe a foolish question, because doesn't everybody know what prayer is? Doesn't everybody know what that is? I mean, is it you and I kind of changing God to get some results that we want? Is it a way that God changes us and molds us into His image or His will? Is it a means by which we get things from God? Is it a combination of all these things? I was reading several books on prayer this week, even. Timothy Keller, in his new work on prayer, talks about prayer is treating God as God. Treating God as God. If God is who He says He is, and gives us access into His presence through Jesus, I come and I treat Him as He is God Himself. Gary Miller's book on prayer describes prayer as calling on God to come through on His promises. God has made Himself known, and in prayer, I take those promises of the Word and I come before Him and say, "This is who You've said You are. Who said You will be." And I call on God to come through on His promises. You see, prayer is communion with God. Simply put, prayer is communion with God. It is a supernatural thing and a natural thing. It's supernatural. I mean, think about this. God is a spirit. The God of the universe is a spirit. And He has allowed us physical and spiritual aspects to us. He's allowed us to have access to Him, to be able to talk to God Himself. That's what we get to do in prayer. It's amazing. It's an amazing supernatural thing that in His grace, He's given us this gift to be able to have access into His very presence and to be able to commune with Him. It's also a natural thing. We innately draw to prayer. We innately go there. Even the atheist, in moments of despair or desperation, will cry out, "I need help." They'll cry out to somebody, something to help me. There's something innate in us that knows there's more, that there is Him. And I cry out to Him. My heart is drawn to Him. Now, while it might be supernatural, natural, you know, sometimes we think about natural things as being easy things. Prayer is not an easy thing. It's why when we talk about prayer, all of us kind of sit back a little bit, like, don't look at me, okay? This is not a strength for many of us. It's a hard thing. You know, if any of you, if we try to spend more than 5 minutes in prayer, it's easy to feel like you got nothing, right? After 5 minutes, you're distracted by something else. or you're like, what do I say next? I mean, prayer shows us our inadequacies. You remember Jesus, don't you? When he went away to pray and he brought his disciples, and then he even brings his inner three, Peter, James, and John, a little bit further, and he asks them simply to do what? Pray with me. What happens? They all fall asleep, right? Prayer is not an easy thing. When you spend time in prayer, it's easy to see our spiritual inadequacies. And I hope today, as we come to this prayer series, that you want to grow. I want to grow in this area. It's a needed area of growth. And so we're going to look at four words together. This starting this week and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at four words. These words are just simply spelled out pray. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. I want to give you four essentials to prayer because prayer is learned. Think about this with me. In Luke 11, the disciples are observing Jesus. And he regularly goes to pray. And in Luke 11, Jesus is asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw something in Jesus that they didn't quite have figured out. And so they asked him, would you help us? Would you teach us about prayer? And so Jesus does. And so he gives them this model prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. And it says this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want to look at these four aspects of prayer together. Praise, repent, ask, and yield as we seek to grow in prayer. We seek to learn about prayer together. The first one I want to look at today with you is this aspect of praise. This idea of praise. We sung about this some today. We saw it in Psalm 46 that God is described as the great King. You see, you and I must know who we are talking to. You see, there are various people around the world that pray, and our prayers look quite different. If you go to different people groups, and the reason they're different is it depends on who you're praying to. You have to know who you're talking to. What is he like? It makes a world of difference to know the person, to talk to that person in prayer. Praise in the Scripture is the foundation of our prayers. Praise is how I come into the presence of God. It's the foundation of our conversation with God. It reminds us instantly of who we're talking to. He is the Creator. From page one of the Scriptures, you see God doing what? He speaks and the world is created with the power of his voice. He does what? He calls out a people, a group of slaves, and names them as his very own. He gives them his word to reveal who he is to them so they'll walk with him, so that he can dwell in their very presence in the tabernacle and later the temple. God is the sovereign one. He is the King of all kings. You saw that in Psalm 47. He is the great King of all the earth. Of all the nations that we're trying to kind of go into our promised land, we can't do it of our own strength. God is the King of all the earth. And so when I come to him in prayer, I first come to my King with reverence. I come to my King with reverence. You see, God is my first focus in prayer. It's meant to be my first focus in prayer. If you want to grow in your prayer life, you know what? When our kids start learning about prayer, they might say, hey, thanks for a good day, but that kind of is like a good day for me. And then they'll be like, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. Give me this. And you know what? We have a tendency to go to God, and it's really about us. If you want to grow in your prayer life, You will learn to go before your King, the King of all the earth, with reverence, with worship. It's what you and I were made for. It's what you and I are commanded to do, give reverence and praise to the one who is worthy of it. It's not enough for us just to know it up here. It's going to come full circle for us to give that praise. And so we want to grow in our knowledge of His attributes and His characters. The many perfections of God revealed to us in the Scriptures. I want to know this one that I'm praying to. I want to know His attributes. I want to know His character as I pray. This past Wednesday in Awana, our kids program here on Wednesday nights, we always open our time with prayer for our Awana missionary. Our Awana missionary this year is the Pate Fields, Nathan and Dawn Pate Fields, serving in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And they send out it's usually Wednesday morning or so, Wednesday afternoon, they send out an email to me, and we give a quick update to our kids, and then we pray together for the Pate Fields. And you know, it's been sweet because when you have that ongoing contact with missionaries, for instance, you get to see some of the things you're praying about, and then you get to see God answering. And it's like, because you have this ongoing communication with them, it's been sweet. And I was praying here with our kids, some 30 or so junior age kids here, and as I'm praying and I'm taking their requests before the God of heaven, it strikes me about the omnipresence of God. I mean, those are one of the things we know about God. He is able to be here and hear us, and he's everywhere, present, right? The omnipresence of God. But it strikes you when you're engaged with people and needs, and you're taking them before God. It struck me Wednesday as we're praying together that the God of heaven hears my prayer right now. And some 8,000 miles to the south in Brazil, God is right now active. He's working. He's directing steps. He is guiding the Pate Fields and using them to be a light of the gospel right there in that community, to establish a church there. It's a sweet thing. What you and I need to do more of is not just know facts about God, but we need to take some time to unpack those facts. You and I need to unpack the character and the attributes of God so that we pray them, so that we commune with God and we lift high who He is. And it captures us what He's like and what that means at the moment we're praying, what's going on. It's an amazing thing. This is who God is. We serve a God who's worthy of praise. And so as we approach the King of Kings, we want to do it reverently. It's no mistake. You can go to the end of Psalms with me, Psalm 150. It's no mistake that the book of Psalms is a book that ends with psalm after psalm after psalm of praise. If you're there, you can look at the opening lines of many of the closing psalms. I mean, it starts at Psalm 146, but even before that, we're encouraged. Psalm 144, bless the Lord, my rock. Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. And then you see it in Psalm 146 and following. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Psalm 147, praise the Lord. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. And Psalm 50, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150 here, and these psalms here, When you see God for who He is, you want to make much of Him. You want to praise Him. And so it's no mistake, as you look at the Psalms, which are songs, and but many of them are prayers put to song, you see that it cannot but erupt in praise. And the book really closes with this crescendo of praise to God. Notice here, as you look at even Psalm 150, as it closes here, it's good and right to close that circle. This is who God is, but I want to do it. I want to praise the Lord. I want to notice His mighty acts. Verse 2. I want to praise Him according to all His perfections. And I don't just want to keep it in or know it in my brain. I want to let it out. And so it comes out, verses 3 through 5, in the brass section, in the string section, the woodwinds, with dance, and even, Robert, even with percussion. You know, it comes out in various aspects of, this has to go, this has to get out. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Prayer and praise, and specific to prayer, is as vital to the Christian as breathing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, what praise does is it helps us to come to God for who He is. We come to God for God, to appreciate Him, to know Him, to make much of what He is. As I mentioned in prayer, it's far too often that we come to God and it's really about us. It's really about what I want, about what I can get. And it's amazing as you think about the Lord teaching about prayer, the Lord says, "Hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done." Almost half of the Lord's prayer is this praise to God. Praise to the great King. You are great and You are worthy to be praised. And so we want to open our prayers. We want to start our prayers to the King of Kings with reverence, making much of Him. I want to recognize Him for who He is, that He is worthy of all my praise. But the other thing I want to do is I want to come, and as I come before the King of Kings, I come with humility. You and I are meant to come with humility. Now, there's not a lot of times we've been around royalty, and I have not been around royalty. The closest I've been is I've got a private tour of Air Force One, and when you come through all the different security measures to get in there, and you only come with a guest. I mean, I'm a guest of somebody else, by the way. You don't just walk in there, right? You get to go in there, and one of the interesting things that struck me is you can't walk onto Air Force One. You've got to take it with your shoes on. You got to take your shoes off. I was like, what is this? The burning bush? You know, I was like, is this like Moses? You come before royalty, you take your shoes off, pal. You know, and you have to like, my wife walks around barefoot on Air Force One. I at least wore socks. I mean, I had some respect. But, you know, you have to take your shoes off. This is protocol. You're in front of this as much as we have royalty, right? It's amazing to think about before the King of Kings, you come not only with reverence, but you come humbly before this one. Now, many of us know someone who when they come into kind of somewhat of a public situation and they're kind of maybe nervous about what to do, they talk about who they know best, and that just happens to be them. And so they kind of have a lot to say about me, myself, and I, and what they're experts in. And you know, when we come before God, that's sometimes how we come in. I come talking about me, myself, and I, and what I would like, what my kingdom would look like if I could have it my way. That's not what we want to do as we come before the King of Kings. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, right? God delights and blesses the humble. As we come before the King, we come reverently and humbly. And you know, when we think about a king, and we think about reverence and humility before Him, we don't often think about death. When you and I are around death, you see weakness and frailty. It's sobering. Many civilizations that want to show their glory and their power, they do something to their enemies to make them appear weak and frail. Perhaps no better civilization than doing this were the Romans. They perfected taking their enemies and putting them on display with weakness so that no one dare cross their glorious power. They perfected that in the form of crucifixion so that all would fear their strength. They would beat and publicly humiliate anyone opposing them. And then for the finale, they would literally nail them to a cross for a slow and painful death. This is what happens to those who oppose my power and my greatness, was the message. And you know, it's amazing for us because when we think of glory and we think of praise and adoring the might and power and glory of God, what's amazing for us is that God chose to lift high His one and only Son in such a way that spun this display of mockery and power for Rome, and it put on display the King of Glory. It spun that image of weakness into an image by which all the followers of Jesus would now boast about. That's His idea of praise. I boast about something. I say, did you see that? Have you looked at this picture? We make much of something. We boast about it. What would believers for century after century boast about? They'd boast about an image of the power of Rome, the King of Kings, and His glory would be displayed on a cross. The King and His crown, He would wear a crown of thorns. This is the glorious exchange of the gospel that you and I receive. We deserve, because of our disobedience, we deserve that kind of punishment. But instead, this glorious exchange takes place because of Jesus, that we get His reward of His righteous life. And He takes the reward that we deserved. And by faith, we can receive adoption, being part of the forever family of God. This glorious exchange of the gospel. Our King is worthy of praise. And we see it put on display in a strange way. This King of Kings that we revere and we're meant to revere in prayer. We're meant to come humbly before. He humbles Himself so that we can be welcomed in this glorious exchange that takes place. But I want you to notice, not only as we think about the prayer and praise, I want you to not only think about God being the great King of all kings. Because when Jesus taught His followers, His disciples, to pray, you know, it's easy to skip over those opening words of that prayer. The very opening words of that prayer say what? Our Father who's in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Our Father. You know, Jesus taught this, you and I can experience intimacy with God through prayer. You know, Jesus in His day got into a lot of trouble with the religious leaders. One of the things that He got in a lot of trouble over with them, because He was so bold as to claim God as His Father. To speak of oneness with God in this family intimacy. Now, we certainly recognize from Scripture that Jesus wasn't saying that we address God in the same way that He had a relationship with God, in the sense that He was the one and only Son, the one who was God Himself in the flesh, God the Son, as He claims in John chapter 10. But Jesus taught about that you and I can experience this intimacy, this family intimacy with God, that we can address our God as Father. He would look out in Mark 3 and he would say, these are my brothers and sisters. Those who come to faith in God through me. These are my brothers. These are family. Brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ himself. By faith, you and I become part of the forever family of God. It's a remarkable thing. And it's not the sense of casualness that we sometimes go, that we would say, hey, pops, hey, daddy-o. That's not what this is welcoming you and I to do, have disrespect that sometimes we show our earthly fathers. That's not what is taking place here. This aspect of Scripture saying we can say Abba, Father. We can address God as Father in heaven. What it does is it speaks of intimacy. You and I can enjoy a relationship with God of intimacy, of being known and knowing Him, walking with God. Boldness to come into His presence. We just talked about the book of Esther recently, didn't we? In the book of Esther, even the queen, excuse me, even the queen, she could not come into the presence of the king unless what? Unless she was invited, or when she did come uninvited, he had to, you know, raise his scepter or lower his scepter to her, or she would be killed. Remember when Mordecai says, you have to be bold and go. And she says, I'm not invited. And she does anyway, and she is granted into the presence of the king. That's not what we have to, like, come to prayer and go, I don't know if I can make it this time. I don't know if I have access. I don't know if I was invited. You have access to come and be known and know God himself, the Father, to praise him for who he is. Hebrews 10 says this. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23 say, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Men and women, we have a good Father. We have a good Father, a faithful Father, that through the blood of Jesus, we have access, we have boldness to come into his very presence. This very presence talking about here, we have verse 19 in chapter 10 of Hebrews. We have boldness to enter the holiest. What is that referring to? The holiest is referring to the holy of holies. Behind the veil itself where no one got to go. Except for the high priest once a year after serious ceremonial preparation. You have access in before your Father. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can go right in because of Christ. And that's where we're supposed to enter. That's how we're supposed to enter. If you're still here in Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says this. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thanksgiving is just a subset of praise. As I think about my Father, I am family. And I am thankful. I want to have a thankfulness with my Heavenly Father. I praise him for who he is and what he's done. I give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 say, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God for us. You don't have to worry, question it. To pray without ceasing, to rejoice always. To pray without ceasing, in everything giving thanks. You may remember in Luke 17, there were 10 lepers that Jesus healed. Jesus heals these lepers, And he doesn't do so directly. He has them go before the priest. And so as they're going before the priest, some point before they get there, it seems like they're healed of their leprosy. And let me ask you, how many of them returned the journey back to Jesus to give thanks? Al's got it right here. One of the lepers returned to give thanks. Just one. One of the ten came back. And he was, the text makes sure to note to us, he was a Samaritan. And the text tells us he gives thanks, returning to give glory to God. How did he give glory to God? He gave glory to God by giving thanks. How do you praise God? One of the ways you praise your heavenly Father is you give him thanks. You glorify God in that way. You praise him. If you want to grow in your prayer life like I want to grow in my prayer life, then we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to praying and coming before the King of Kings with reverence and humility. We have to come before our Heavenly Father as family, intimacy there, and with thankfulness. It's what we're called to do. Next week, we're going to explore repentance together. Next week, we're going to continue praise, repent, ask, and yield as we seek to grow in our journey of prayer. So I invite you to stay with us for this prayer series together. I want to pray, and we'll jump to our fellowship time just a hair early today. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you're a God of mercy. Because if you were to hold iniquities against us, Lord, there would be none in this room who could stand or would dare show their presence before you. But Lord, you've shown mercy to us that you might be praised. Lord, would you help us to be careful as we consider prayer, to not come at this as we do so much else in our life. We think about our kingdom and our will and what we want to be done. And Lord, you teach us to pray first and foremost, laying the foundation of praise. God, would you help us to draw our attention before you, to be used in this church family to draw others' attention to you. God, you're a good Father and a mighty King. And we pray you'd help us to make much of you.